I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite professors in seminary would start all of his classes at the beginning of term by asking the class what their favorite scripture or book of the Bible was. And of course, he would get all sorts of varied answers. But then he would finally say in his raspy voice, "Ha! It's a trick question. It's all good. It's all God's word. You're not allowed to have a favorite." Every class he did that. We all caught on, but we all played along nonetheless. But perhaps he is correct, and we are not to have favorite scriptures or books in the Bible, because it is all God's word, and it is all good. But if I were to pick one, it would certainly be the Gospel of St. Luke. As many of you have heard me say before, the Gospel of Luke is full of stories that hit home. They impact our hearts, our minds, and souls in a major way, because these stories and parables of Jesus are beautiful and often full of imagery. But perhaps more important, they touch us in the ways in which to be human, in which it is to be human, wanting to be loved by others, wanting forgiveness and to be forgiven, or longing for God. And I could go on and on. Today, our parable is no exception, with the Pharisee and the tax collector. We hear this reading from Luke, and like many of the other stories and parables from Luke, it invokes in us an emotional response. Perhaps a response to listening to Luke today is one of discomfort or unease. I think that our response is one of discomfort or unease because most of us hear this parable from Luke and we identify with one of the characters right away, either the tax collector or the Pharisee, or perhaps, if we're honest, a little of both. Most of us see ourselves in these characters, and that causes us to have some discomfort. Let us turn now to our gospel to see what is really going on. Right from the beginning of this gospel passage, we are told that Jesus is talking to a group of religious people who view themselves as righteous and view others with contempt and look down on them for not being righteous. So two men go to the temple, we are told, to pray. The Pharisee, the first man, goes and stands by himself, and he says this prayer: "Thank you, God, that I am not like other people." What a prayer. "Thank you, God, that I am not like other people, those who steal and plunder, and those who cheat on their spouses." He even looks over to the tax collector standing a few feet away and says, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like that man over there." The Pharisee is proud of himself. He says, "God, I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income, and do everything that you have asked me to do." The Pharisee's feeling pretty good, pretty self-righteous, pretty assured of his salvation and of his standing with God because of the things that he has done in his life. The Pharisee in our text today thinks that things between him and God are all good, but deep within himself is the sin of pride and self-righteousness. And as Basil the Great, that great church father, says, "Pride is foreign to the mind of one that fears God." The Pharisee believes that the goal of life is this, and the goal of religion is this, to master the law of God. But in reality, the goal of life is to be mastered by the law of God. When it comes down to it, the Pharisee represents people who think that they can attain their own salvation through their own actions, and then pass judgment on others, on those who cannot. But then we have this other man, a tax collector, the scourge of society, but he stands far off. And this is an important detail, because remember, in the temple, God dwelled in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant, and the closer you stood to there, the closer you were to God. So this man, feeling unworthy, stands far off. And in the time of this passage, the Pharisee would have been a respected religious member of society, and the tax collector would have found himself on the opposite end of society, a complete and utter outcast. And we are told that he won't even look up to the heavens, and he stands there beating his chest, and he says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That is his prayer. The tax collector knows that he has fallen short of the glory of God. He knows that he has made mistakes and done some things wrong, and he knows that God is the only one who can fix that, and he turns to God and he confesses his sin, and God is pleased with him for that. He, unlike the Pharisee, realizes that his salvation will come from God and not from any human action that he can take. The tax collector is really a liberating figure because he shows us that it is not up to us. There is nothing that we can do to attain our own salvation. It comes from God. Jesus says of these two men, the tax collector, the leper in society, will go home justified rather than the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. This text can make us uncomfortable because, as I say, we usually identify with either the Pharisee or the tax collector. Both of these men are equal in the eyes of God. They are both sinners and fall short of his glory, just like all of us do, for that is to be human. The only difference between the two men is that one of them recognizes it, the tax collector, and the other one, the religious one, does not. Overall, this is not one of those passages of Scripture that leave us scratching our heads, hard to understand in the church. Rather, it is a passage of Scripture that just makes us uncomfortable in the church because of how we have traditionally treated those outside the church, both in our outward words and actions, but if we are honest, both as well in the thoughts of our hearts and minds. But this passage of Scripture is full of hope because it calls us back to who and what we are supposed to be, a group of people who realize that we are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and that our righteousness is found in him because of the work he did on the cross and because of nothing that we can do ourselves. We are called to be a community of people following Jesus, not judging the world, but offering Jesus' love and salvation to it. I would like to return for a moment to my professor, who would always ask us at the beginning of term what our favorite scriptures were. And although we all knew what was going on, we each participated in this trick question year after year, class after class. But when we hear or read this passage of scripture, it too is a bit of a trick question. We automatically identify with the Pharisee or the tax collector, but it is a trick question because that is our pride, that is our human pride, for this text isn't about humans at all. It is not about the tax collector or the Pharisee or any other human person. This story is about God and what he has done for every man, woman, and child. But in our human pride, in all our human pride, we always miss that third character, God, who saves both of these men. This text is about our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his work on the cross offers salvation to us all if we come to him and are humble enough to repent like the tax collector, if we repent that we have fallen short of his glory, as we all have done. Justification or being made right is not anything that we can achieve. No matter what the Pharisee did in this world, he was not able to attain righteousness or salvation for himself, for that was done for him through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. People often ask me, people especially of my generation, why is it not good enough that I'm just a good person and do good things in this world? What this parable shows us is that there is nothing in this world we can do to attain our own salvation. Salvation is a gift, and it comes from God and God alone. When we read this gospel text, yes, it is true that many of us do naturally identify with either the Pharisee or the tax collector, but neither of them, by anything they can do or say, can attain their own salvation. Rather, it is given by God, that forgotten character of this story. So my brothers and sisters, stay focused on God, knowing that in reality we are both at the same time the Pharisee and the tax collector. They are both in us. But if we go to our Lord in humility and repent, he will meet us with his open and loving arms, regardless of who we are and what we have done, and that is nothing short of amazing grace. So my brothers and sisters, give thanks today to our God, who has loved us and redeemed us and freely gives us grace and salvation as a simple yet profound gift. Amen.